The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL.
Not sure if he can quite work out the theme for this week.
I don't know.
Oh my god! I do believe that somebody this week lost their mind.
That would be one Antonio Brown.
A little bit like this.
Forgot how good that song was actually. yeah, that would be one Antonio Brown that. Obviously bewildered everybody, and even the commentator, I can't remember who was commentating, but he said he'd never seen that in his 30 years of broadcasting, which is absolutely crazy. Well, crazy.
wasn't sure who was on the actual broadcast. I just remember seeing it. I just remember watching it on Red Zone, and Scott Hansen, who's sort of like, you know, the host slash, you know, sort of lead guy on there, was just, he was bewildered, just absolutely bewildered at what was happening. Yeah, they're obviously trying to get any information they can, you know, on hand, first hand, as quickly as they can, and it just they couldn't get anything really until, because it overshadowed the game, it overshadowed the finish, how well the Jets played.
Was gonna say, mate, and to be honest, like, we'll go through the scores in a second, but Bruce Arians' reported call of he was benching Antonio Brown seemed to work a charm, because it turned the game around. It could have been a multitude of things. It could have, I don't know, but we'll go through that game and all the other games. A lot of games were on our Monday. Most games were on the Monday except for one on the Tuesday. But we'll start at the Monday ones. The Bills beat the Falcons 29-15. The Bears beat the Giants 29-3. The Bengals beat the Chiefs in domination, even though it's close. But they still, 34-31.
Oh, I can't help but laugh at the Dolphins either. Good God, they were two horrendous games.
The Titans beat the Dolphins 34-3. The Raiders beat the Colts 23-20. A couple of upsets actually, when you really look at it. And I'm not, Titans weren't an upset, but Bengals beating the Chiefs, I thought was.
And the Raiders beating the Colts on the road. Like, that's, yeah, I thought that was a huge upset.
The Pats smashing the Jags 50-10, basically confirming their number one draft pick, I would say. The Bucks beat the Jets, as we mentioned before, 28-24. The Eagles beat Washington Football Team 20-16. The Rams beat the Ravens 20-19. The Chargers beat the Broncos 34-13. The 49ers beat the Texans 23-7. The Cardinals beat the Cowboys 25-22. We didn't look like that deserved to win that game, but, and I'm glad we did.
That was the statement game we were talking about last week, wasn't it? And I think Dallas failed miserably for three quarters.
Yeah, and if they won in that last, I mean, a win's a win, but I would have not been happy if we won that game, because we didn't deserve to win it.
Win's a win.
Most of all that game, yeah. I mean, a win's a win, but anyway, your Saints come back and beat the Panthers 18-10. Basically in the second half, it was just radically. Or they kept Panthers scoreless in the second half, so that was really good.
It all goes on the value of a good kicker once again. Like, you know, when the Saints are on their fourth kicker for the season, like it just once again proves the value of somebody who can land you 3 points.
And you know, Cameron Jordan bolting into the backfield from the
left. Oh my god.
The Seahawks and the Lions. Seahawks won, but goddamn, this was a scoreline 51-29. That is so many.
And they
points
were up well. They were up well more than that, Seattle, than this. Like, letting Detroit, not so much get a sniff, but, you know, letting Detroit and Tim Boyle put 29 points on you. That's embarrassing.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, you're right. That is embarrassing, but that's how they've played this entire year. The Packers beat the Vikings 37-10, and then the final Tuesday game, which if you watched any little bit, you would have to say, even though it hasn't been confirmed, Big Ben's final home game, 26-14 over the hapless Browns. You'd have to say.
Confirming it without confirming it. But
He was celebrating like it was last one. The teammates were celebrating his last one. He was hugging his kids at the end. Like, of course.
Yeah, no, it's, yeah. Anyway. He's, yeah.
We'll go straight up to the top. So we'll go to the first one, the Bills beating the Falcons. Look, I thought, I guess, for this game, it was kind of, I mean, again, for me, it was kind of what they did sort of last week, the Bills. What Josh Allen didn't have to throw much and didn't really, like, you know, the throwing game wasn't really there, but his run game was a there again.
So his run game was amazing. His passing game was as below par as what I've seen him in the past 2 years. Like, yeah. this game, he was horrendous in the past game. He had the three interceptions that he had were in four passes. Four straight passes. Like, it was unbelievable. It was just feast or famine for him. And I really thought that, you know, obviously his legs, but also Devin Singletary really bailed them out of this game.
I had to. Yeah, you're right. It had to bail them out.
He had two rushing – Josh Allen had two rushing touchdowns in the first quarter. It's like, it's going to be Buffalo by how much?
But then they turned it around and they thought, well, this is working for them. Let's us try it. And then they got that Mike Davis sort of touchdown in the second quarter then before the half to sort of, I guess, wrestle it back. They were 15-4 in the half, Atlanta. And honestly, they were there competitive enough, I thought, in this game.
They were very competitive in the first half. You know, I guess they were blanked in the second half. And I guess sort of part of the problem was it was a funny sequence that sort of happened. Matt Ryan had sort of rushed himself in for a touchdown, or so it had seemed that he'd rushed himself in for a touchdown. He slid early. His knee come in contact with the ground before breaking the plane, before the ball could have gone past the end zone line. So they call him down, essentially not so much by contact, but, you know, down by dropping the knee just before the end zone. As he gets up, at one of the defensive backs from Buffalo, I can't remember who it was, come along and hit him pretty hard while he was on the ground. And he gets up and just gives him an absolute gobful as he gets up.
Yeah.
Then they try and work it out. They say that he was down, you know, inches short of the line. And then so the touchdown's nullified. And then to make things worse, he actually gets a taunting penalty. And they tack on another 15 yards back. And then they blow the rest of the drive. And they don't even get in because they take it on a fourth and short. Wasn't really a fourth and short. I think it was like a fourth and 11. That they try and get in. They don't get in. Matt Ryan, not so much makes that play, but he slides in for the touchdown, and Atlanta are right back in it.
Yeah, they are. They are. And they use their, for the most part, their bell cow, Kyle Pitts, he didn't get a lot of targets, but his targets, he got that nice 61-yard target, which is really good, I thought.
Absolutely destroyed my multi, that one pass. One pass, well, that's all it took, was one pass.
I bring
pass,
it up anyway. Because, what, did you have him in unders, did you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I bring him up because he, and this is probably why.
It was like 56 yards or something. I'm pretty sure it was like 56 and a half yards under. And it's just like, he'll go way under that because this is going to be, I thought this was going to be the exact game that the Atlanta Falcons are going to play. And then, yeah, he screws it all up in one shot.
But I bring it up because, and you're right, it's probably just that one shot, so it was unlucky. But I bring it up because, I don't think it's been mentioned enough that, you know, obviously there's a lot of other plaudits, but I don't think it's been mentioned enough that a rookie tight end has gone over 1,000 yards this year.
He's having one hell of a season. That message just sent you today. He's having one hell of a season.
Yeah,
for not so much a rookie tight end, but for a rookie – and the amount of receiving yards that he's had this season. And it's totally under the radar because he's playing at Atlanta.
But that's what I'm getting at. Like, bets like you just did then, was that under the radar? Is that kind of under the radar because we're not hearing enough on him and we're going, yeah, that's, he's not real because it's Atlanta versus Buffalo. We're just,
I
not
think
expecting,
just because that's not so much at. This game, not so much this game. I just think Atlanta, even though they were, you know, pretty much in the playoff hunt until this week.
Yeah.
And look, I, right. you know, I'm a Saints fan. I pay very close attention to the Atlanta Falcons because they're in the same division. But you just don't hear of them. They're not relevant.
No, they're not. They're not. They hang and they've hung and they've hung and now they're gone. You're right.
Well, there's only two. Only two teams that are talked about in the NFC South, and that's the Bucs and the Saints.
That's right. And the Saints really shouldn't be talked about. I mean, I get why they are, but they shouldn't be talked about above Atlanta, because technically, well, they are below Atlanta. But I know what you mean. You're right. I think he should. Hopefully, Well, I was actually skeptical of. Firsthand when he was named to the Pro Bowl, but now I kind of get it. It's not really a shock to me. Like getting over 1,000 yards.
At this point in time, he's had the third most receiving yards by a rookie receiver.
And he's probably lucky, obviously, that Calvin Ridley hasn't been there for most of the season.
No, and I think that's why he's starting to see an uptick in yards because they are so decimated at that their wide receiver position.
God. Obviously, they're the ones that need
Jones. You know, no Calvin Ridley for I think more than half of this year, and he's had to been gone to, and now he's starting to fit into this offense a little bit. And I think Matt Ryan can trust him a little bit more, even though why the hell you wouldn't trust him. But you know, they're starting to work him more. He's getting more targets. He had 80. What did he have? 86 yards a couple of weeks ago. Like he's starting to get into his work and. And that's only a good thing for Atlanta going forward.
Well, they need a lot of things going forward, Atlanta. I mean, they'll end up keeping Matt Ryan at least for another year because he's still guaranteed money. But next game, the Chicago Bears smashing the Giants. you were laughing about this when I mentioned the score. I mean,
oh my God.
This is good game by Saquon. Hey Saquon.
Hey, look, we had a Barkley appearance. Like that was Look, they had obviously come in with a clear plan that we're going to try and run the ball down Chicago's throat, and for most part of that, it worked. Mm-hmm. On the other half of it, they had Mike Glennon at quarterback, and look, he had two drop fumbles, two interceptions, sacked four times.
Through 24 yards.
A QB rating of zero.
a QBR of zero and a rating of 5.3.
It just, he had, with the four sacks that he took for 34 yards negative. So his passing yards, because obviously they take you, his total offense was negative 10.
Jesus Christ. And he had four fumbles. I think you mentioned
that. The Giants didn't even get into the red zone all game.
I think you mentioned he had four fumbles. I mean, my God. I mean,
they didn't even get to the red zone.
They
were 1 for 11 on third down.
If anything, this helps Daniel Jones' case even more to get re-signed there, to be honest. Well, I don't know. Oh, I don't know.
It wouldn't have mattered if Daniel Jones was there. We've seen what he's done this year.
Good point. The team's in all sorts. I mean, the other side, the other team.
I feel bad for Mike Glennon. Good God.
Yeah. The other side, David Montgomery, again, you know, an underrated figure for me personally, getting two touchdowns, 64 yards. Them using... I mean, this will be their wide receiver one because I can't see Allen Robinson staying there. Darnell Mooney getting a TD. I do like Darnell Mooney. He's only 23, so he's got plenty of years there left. So, I'm not praising them. They're 6-10 as well. I'll praise them against the hapless Giants, but they're 6-10. You know, in a tough division. You know, yeah. Even you throw Detroit in there. Detroit, I know, are 2-13, but Detroit wiped their ass off. Really?
No, that's right. Yeah, Detroit. So. You know, like Dan Campbell said, they'll bite a kneecap, they'll scratch and claw, they'll bite your elbow, they'll
next year, Dan Campbell's staying there next year. He's
no, that's right. I don't think the ownership there at Detroit are gonna sack him after this year. Like they've been ravaged with injury. They've especially at the receiver position. Like, you know, they lost their two best offensive weapons in Swift and Hockenson. Jared Goff.
We'll get up to the, you know, unearthed a rookie finally. We'll get up to that in a second. But yeah,
no,
finally.
That's right. Look, yeah, I guess I'm sort of through laughing at the New York Giants. One sort of thing that did sort of pop up out of this game was the linebacker Robert Quinn for the Bears set a new franchise record with 18 sacks. And up until that point in time, he was the league leader in sacks until TJ Watt had himself a day against the Cleveland Browns. So, but he did set a Chicago Bears sack record. So I thought that was sort of worth mentioning.
Yeah, and that's the thing for the Bears. Their defense has never been a problem. They got Roquan Smith. They've got
they've been missing Khalil Mack for the last few weeks.
Yeah, but they've got. Their defense is great. It's always been their offense. Hopefully Justin Fields will continue there, but they need a healthy David Montgomery and probably another wide receiver and probably an offensive one, actually. It's probably what they really need first.
I think so as well. If they're going to mold sort of, you know, Justin Fields into that, I guess sort of you look at what Jalen Hurts is doing this year. I think they're going to sort of mold him into that sort of QB that is wanting to be a bit more accurate and maybe, you know, a little bit more game aware, you know, in sort of just in pressure situations where, you know, knowing when to throw the ball away, you know, we're knowing when to hold on to it. And going back to the New York Giants, for me, that's one thing that Daniel Jones hasn't learned in three and a bit season, nearly four seasons now. He doesn't know when to not throw the hero ball and find the team wearing the other jersey.
Or he doesn't know when to throw the ball out. Actually out.
No, exactly. Yeah, exactly. He tries to play hero ball. He tries to make the big pass. He's all about, I think he's let the whole Danny Dimes thing go to his head because he's trying to make the big play to make the unbelievable play and go, oh my God, how did he get that? The Patrick Mahomes play. And he is a far cry from Patrick Mahomes.
Funny you mentioned that. That's the next game. Them going down to the Bengals, 34-31. Yeah, seamless. I mean, I say them going down to the Bengals, but I could say them going down to two people, and that's Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, my God, Ja'Marr Chase had a game. 266 yards.
They've been a very formidable combination as of the last few weeks.
He wasn't wrong. I wouldn't say skeptical because I knew the guy was good, but I was thinking, oh, you wanted to pick a wide receiver at number five. Joe Burrow said he wanted him. They took a chance.
It took a chance, and it's funny how in three drafts that the Bengals can go, right, we got Joe Mixon. Then the year after that, right, we've got Joe Burrow. And then the year after that, they've got Ja'Marr Chase. Like they've got one hell of a 1-2-3, you know, sort of running back, wide receiver, and quarterback punch now.
Maybe they've gone the smart way. Maybe they've realized that, I guess, you get like it sort of seems to be evident this year, if you get all these wide receivers and running backs young on rookie contracts while they're young,
been the formula for a little while now, I think.
And then go on the free agency for the defense because you can find some defensive players that maybe a little bit older that people don't want, like, you know, Tuta Bayouzi, Logan Wilson, a couple other people like that. Von Bell, that's right. You know,
if they fit your system, then that only strengthens that. Like this game didn't get off to the best start for Joe Burrow. His first dropback, he was sacked.
He was sacked, yeah.
He's the most sacked quarterback in the league at the moment. He took another four hits in this game.
Yeah, well, he still has no protection. He still has no protection.
All he needs is just above, not even above average. He just needs average offensive line play. And this is one hell of a dangerous team.
He doesn't even really have a left tackle, really. That's what he needs, a left tackle. because that blind spot, that blind side, so to speak.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he just doesn't get it.
Blind side. That's the most important.
Especially when Chris Jones is coming at you, just like, you know.
No, well, yeah, that's right as well. Look, he even got hit by Tyrone Mathieu. So.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and from that left side as well, like, you know, from his blind side, and nobody stopped him. Like Mathieu come around the edge. And Burrow it was almost like a deer in headlights. And then all of a sudden he turns around, looks, and there's Mathieu right on him and hits him. And you're like, oh man, like he, going off what happened last year, you fear that, man, he cannot continue to take these kind of hits, to take this kind of punishment.
No, that's right. But then again, when Burrow found Chase getting 11 of 12, 11 catches at 12 targets, 266 yards and 3 TDs.
A 69-yard touchdown and a 72-yard touchdown, and just put on the Jets.
Torched them. You know, for all the, I don't know if it was rumors or it was his skepticism of the new ball, we couldn't get used to the NFL ball. I mean, that's clearly was never the case.
That shouldn't really take that long. Like, we're in week 17 now, so.
No. He's been good consistently this year. He's another one that's not mentioned in the you know, there's a lot of good offensive rookies this year, and that are not going to win.
No, well, that's all, yeah, he could have absolutely, over his last few weeks, he could have absolutely overtaken Mac Jones as the favorite and could possibly win offensive rookie of the year.
He should, but I don't know if he will, because again, you know, quarterbacks are in this league.
I know, but you just—it's good that he's sort of doing this at this time of the year, because I think, you know, maybe some of the judges for this might have a little bit of recency bias and not really go back to the start of the season.
Well, that's what I'm betting on, because he was there a little bit, so I put him and Aaron Rodgers on recency bias in a future multi MVP rookie offensive player. But Aaron's gone from $8 down to $1.56 now. This is a guy that was supposedly not being thought of. I know we'll talk about him later because of all his off-field mishaps. But
look, this game just went absolutely bonkers. Crazy yeah. in the last couple of minutes.
Yeah. It did, yeah.
I mean, yeah, Cincinnati looked like they were working the clock perfectly. You know, it's all tied at 31-all. You think Kansas City has got the big stop that they need. There's penalties galore. There's offsides. It was unbelievable. Then they iced the kicker. McPherson.
Yeah, no, you got it right.
They ice him.
Yeah.
You know, but he gets it the second. This was just just before McPherson takes the field goal, Joe Burrow gets hurt and is taken off the field, and it's like, oh my god, now they got to bring in Kyle Allen, like, oh my god, like what is happening here, like this, yeah, this, oh sorry, not Kyle Allen, Brandon Allen. It was batshit crazy towards the end, and
yeah.
It all just went in favor of the Bengals, and yeah, they worked the clock perfectly. You know, Allen had to come in. Yeah, you know, had his one pass attempt incompletion. It was always going to be like that, and then he basically kneeled on the ball, kneeled with 2 seconds left, so McPherson could come in and win it, and clinch the division, and also. Knock Kansas City out of that top spot in the AFC, and that may well have screwed them out of getting the top seed.
Possibly. I'm still...
If all Tennessee has to do next week is beat Houston, and that's it. They're the top seed. They have... Yeah, they will overtake Kansas City, even if Kansas City win.
Oh, and honestly, fully deserved for Tennessee, because that is the next game we're going to talk about. And again, I said it last week, I think Mike Vrabel... Like, they were only 1 or 2 point favorites in this game in terms of,
two and
you know,
a half,
like,
I think it was 2.5, I think.
Yeah, so.
And that was the thing. Like, you know, the Dolphins have come in, you know, riding a 7-game win streak. that's all gone out the window. Kansas City were on an 8-game win streak, and that's all gone out the window. So look, and once again, not having to rely on Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, and that was a beautiful thing in this game. And then getting...
And they're playing well on both sides of the ball. And Miami this week were horrendous on both sides of the ball, defensively and offensively.
Yep, and I gave, not on this pod, but I gave... And not on another pod, I should have clarified. I gave praise to Tua in a fantasy group that I'm in. And he wasn't too bad, but he wasn't too good either, is the other thing. I gave him praise because I thought of where they were at the moment. But you mentioned it yourself. I think you did mention they haven't come up against those wins, haven't come up against any decent teams. This was technically the first decent team.
This is one of the better teams that they have played in the last.
I don't think we're honestly giving Tennessee enough respect. I mean, I said they were still going to win the AFC South, and I know. You like the Colts. We all like the Colts, don't get me wrong, but I don't think we give Tennessee enough respect of where they are at the moment.
No, that's right, exactly. And Tennessee have shown up. Look, they've had some pretty bad losses on their resume. So
they've also had some horrendous injuries. Horrendous.
No, exactly. And to key players as well. Like, you know, they've missed Julio Jones for a lot of the season. AJ Brown has been in and out. Obviously, Derrick Henry as out, he has a very, very, very slim chance of playing in week 18, but he is going to practice this week, so I've read.
He's expected to practice Wednesday, which would open up the 21-day practice window, which Tennessee can activate the star running back from injured reserve. So he won't play this week.
They have to get him in the practice then.
So he won't play this week, but my God, if my God, they're going to be.
If he comes back, then
you just mentioned it before. If most likely they'll beat the Texans, they'll get that first week bye. That'll give them another week off. Having them, they could be a serious run home at home too. So, and they're 7-2 at home. So yeah,
they will need a little bit more out of Ryan Tannehill. I think not so much coast through a playoff run, but yeah, I don't think they can have a playoff game, you know, like this, and Tannehill be 13-for-18 and 120 yards. Like that I don't think that can't happen.
You can do it if Derrick Henry's there, and Derrick Henry's getting 200 yards, but other than that, no, you're right. You can't. You have AJ Brown for a reason. You have him there for a reason.
No, that's right. Yeah, you can't not utilize him. That is an unbelievable waste of talent. Like, you know, they haven't got a whole lot else. But yeah, you absolutely have to try and get AJ Brown into this game. And you can't be one dimensional in that regard.
So this will be now the third week in a row that your Las Vegas Raiders, Derek Carr throws over 300 yards, they win the game. Theory's gone out the window because.
Oh yeah, no, that's there. That's totally blown up.
It's like Derek Carr somehow heard this podcast and went, "Yeah, screw you, Miles. I know I can do it." Win a game.
That's fine. Like, you know, if Derek Carr's listening out there, you know, just put us out there on your Instagram or your Twitter page. Like, you know, just mention us around the traps. You
even
know,
if it's bad, even if you say, "Yeah, I was listening to this Final Play podcast." And they said, like, I can't win a game if I throw under 300 yards. Watch this.
Three on the trot now. Look, his two interceptions, all right, kept Indianapolis in the game. But look, man, like they were. Wentz looked very ordinary to start this game.
Yeah.
1 of 7 and 8 yards, you know, early into the second quarter. Like this is not good. Like a lot of talk's been going around about Carson Wentz this week, unvaccinated, you know, was diagnosed with COVID 5 days later. He's back. You know,
well, he was questionable straight going into the game. Well, he was questionable going into this game.
Yeah, so, that's right. Exactly.
So, another one that's unvaccinated. Yeah, you're right. And that can throw a game plan off. Like they did, they nearly pulled it out. I mean, but it was more Las Vegas, sort of surge in that last touchdown. But a quarterback doing that before, I mean, I don't know. Like, I know he's unvaccinated, and I know they would have had to put up with it, but my God, like, you know, that's... How do you prepare for that?
It seemed like a very quick turnaround. I think that's what a lot of people within league circles are talking about, that it's the status of being unvaccinated. It's the testing positive, and then 5 days later getting a negative, and it's just like, hey, we're all good. We can play him on Sunday. So I think there was a lot of questions sort of circling around that, you know, talking about that, I guess, sort of final touchdown that Hunter Renfro scored, which would have been absolutely amazing if the touchdown had stood. But the down by contact rule is, to me, a very gray area, to say the least. And as Hunter Renfro was sort of going to the ground, you know, the back of his cleat was touched. He goes down. He's essentially down by contact. Look, I really think they could probably learn a little bit of something from rugby league in, you know, what constitutes being down by contact. That's not down by contact. That is ridiculous. That game should have ended on that touchdown by Hunter Renfro. Derek Carr is the huge hero by you know, throwing that under pressure. That is just, that's just not down by contact. Touching the bottom of somebody's cleat as they're falling, they're not on top of them or anything of that. Nobody is near him. He's not, nobody's got a hand on him when he's down. He's well within his rights to get back up and continue on his run.
Yeah. Yeah, because his elbow hasn't. Yeah, I completely agree.
Well, not so much the elbow touch. Nobody was on him. Nobody was on him.
Yeah, but I thought
the back of his cleat was touched by a defender. I don't even think he's... as he was falling. When he hits the ground and his knee hits the ground, there is nobody within 2 yards of him. He is 100% within his rights to get back up and continue the run.
Yeah, no, and
but that's not the way that the down by contact rule is officiated in the NFL, and it's ridiculous.
In the NRL, yeah, you're right. It's completely.
Oh no,
completely
no, I'm talking
different.
About in the NFL, no, you're in the NRL. Right. Like, yeah, that's right. It should. Yeah, you have to put your hands on somebody while they're on the ground. That should constitute down by contact, not the touching of a cleat. As you're falling, nobody around. You are absolutely 100% well within your rights to get back up and continue that run.
What's interesting for the Colts, just, I mean, going into week 18.
That's cost them the division.
That's cost them the division. And still, they're still hovering. You know, that leaves three teams. And the one that we just talked about, the Raiders, beating the Colts, them, the Chargers, and the Colts, all on 9-7. So... they'll all be fighting. I mean, Colts have only got Jacksonville this week, but then the Chargers have the Raiders, so that'll literally be a playoff game.
Well, that's right, and
they've
put out the schedule already for this week. They like to sort of hang back and see what's going to be a win and in type game. And that game next week. The Chargers and the Raiders is the primetime game on NBC. So that's the kind of game that they're looking for to put on primetime.
Pats, I mean, probably don't have to spend months on this game to get through some more. The Pats smashing the Jags 50-10. I mean,
obliteration.
That's it. The run game was
in more ways than one. Like Trevor Lawrence is just. He's fleeing for his life. Like, he only got sacked two times in this game.
He needs to finish this year out because he's got nothing to throw to. Look, it's just an abomination, really, on the Jaguars side. On the other side, Damien Harris was used again, like, sporadically. He's sort of coming slowly back in. So Ramondre Stevenson was great, but Damien Harris was used at that red zone line.
No, that's right. And that's what New England has sort of done at the moment. They're not sort of, you know, overusing their running backs at the moment. They'll find the hot player and they'll run with them, whether it's Stevenson, whether it's Harris. And I don't mind, you know, and to a lesser extent, you know, Brandon Bolden has been, you know, there or thereabouts this season as well. So, you know, that they've done well in sort of limiting the amount of, you know, hits and everything, you know, rushing attempts that they've all made. But it all works. You know, Mac Jones has only got to do, yeah, what he's got to do. He was sat late in the fourth quarter, and Hoyer come in. Trevor Lawrence.
Now, he wasn't sacked. He was hit pretty hard. He wasn't sacked. He didn't get an official sack in that game. But you're
no,
right.
No, but he, yeah, look,
he got smashed pretty hard.
Yeah, he did. Look, Trevor Lawrence has only thrown two interceptions. Two interceptions. Threw three in this game. He's only thrown two touchdown passes in the last 9 weeks.
Because who is he going to throw to?
Was Urban Meyer right in a couple of weeks ago telling all his coaching staff that they're all losers? Well, that's what he come out. That's what he come out and said. He said, "Yous are all losers, and I'm a winner." Is he right? Because it's not helping him. He's gone. It's not helping them at all.
But who is he got?
They look like the same miserable Jags team that's been all freaking year.
You're all losers.
That's what he said. Like,
I know it's what he said, but it's just
losers.
It's how you come out with it. Yeah, I know. But he's got.
No, I'm a winner. I'm getting lap dances in Ohio after a loss, and you guys are all losers.
I got nothing. That's because his WR1's Marvin Jones Jr. He's got nothing.
just that. Like, that's his number one receiver. Good God.
You're all losers. My God, I'm not going to get over that one.
Unbelievable.
My God.
He's got one of the worst offensive lines in football, and he's just being obliterated every single week. And this New England defense, they take no prisoners, and they weren't here for it at all.
And for them, they smartly then got themselves 10-6. So they're like effectively, well, they were always going to be in there, but now they're not really in that 9-7. They're inside looking there.
No, that's right. Yeah, they've distanced themselves. And look, yeah, they've got that tricky road trip next week that they don't really like doing. You know, under Bill Belichick. Not now that Tom Brady's gone, but under Bill Belichick
at Miami.
With the New England Patriots going late season, which they normally do, late season down to Miami, Bill Belichick is 2-7 against the Dolphins in Miami.
Yeah, but the Miami is now effectively eliminated from their loss, so they it depends now what happens.
Well, they've got nothing to lose their next week, haven't
they? That's
right.
That's exactly right. So and it's a divisional game too. So
that's right. That's what I mean. That could spell danger for the Patriots next week. They need to keep their head screwed on, otherwise, the Miami Dolphins could pull their pants down in later in the season.
The game in question, the game we were talking about right at the start, the Bucs beating the Jets, 28-24, we mentioned at the start, but the Jets were great in the first three quarters.
I really like that team. No, I don't think we've said that all year, that the Jets were great. Like, they really put it on Tampa.
I really like that because they're so young too, and it helps. But I really like their team. I like the way Zach Wilson played, and, you know, he didn't throw an interception. He only got sacked once, so he was protected enough, and he was able to scurry away for a little bit. And they've got, like, again, Braxton Berrios was good in this game. So,
he's come into a little bit of form coming into the end of the season.
This was just a classic. I mean, it was a classic for a lot of reasons in this game, but
I don't know how classic the Antonio Brown thing was, but this was just a classic Tom Brady ending.
Well, it was, and if you don't have one boy there, you may as well go to another boy, and his other boy was his main boy, Rob Gronkowski. 7-1.
Oh, Gronk was huge, and that's where it all comes into it. Yeah, the guy that you can absolutely trust. You know, Mike Evans did well at the start of this game. Sort of faded out, I think, towards the end. I think he still might have been hampered a little bit by that hamstring. Like you said, Rob Gronk. Yeah, Gronk was just doing what Brady and Gronk do, like getting him out of trouble. They, the Jets, the way that they ended the game. They were a fourth and goal. They didn't want to kick the field goal to basically guarantee themselves overtime. So they didn't want to kick the field goal. So, you know, Robert Saleh goes for it. They bomb it. They're still only up three. It's essentially a minute 57. You've given Tom Brady too much time.
You're giving
him too much time. And how many quarterbacks can you say that about?
2 minutes
in today's league. There's not many. There's probably two or three that you can say that about. You would think Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady.
It was a two minutes. Yeah.
You march down the field, 93 yards, and he finds Cyril Grayson. I don't even know that person existed on this planet until this drive. Four out of his 10 total catches in his career. Four of them come on this drive.
What I found interesting, it wasn't even that. It was also that they had to obviously go for the two-point conversion attempt. And who got the two-point? You know, you said one name that's out of the blue. Who got the two-point conversion attempt? Le'Veon Bell.
Oh, Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon
Russ
Bell.
Russ is up the middle with 10 succeed. And that's effectively what got them, you know, that four-point gap that they needed. My God.
Even he had a couple of good. Yeah, I think he had two receptions on that final drive.
It's just like you said. It's just 2 minute Tom. You know, he had to throw 50 times in this game. He would have been, and I think he looked. I mean, obviously he was going to get hit with the Antonio Brown questions and everything like that. And he did answer one of them pretty politically. Because he would be feeling like he's the guy that got in there. He's the guy that had him.
He was the guy that got him to New England after all the BS that he went through.
He'd internally be pissed off, but
absolutely he would be.
But he'd also be. I'll be honest. I reckon forgetting all that, and that obviously was sort of, curtailed everything. But he'd be more pissed at the actual game because I guarantee he wouldn't have loved that game, even though they got the win. No. He would have hated that game.
Absolutely.
Because of where they had to get to.
Trailing 24-10 to the Jets.
He would have hated that going into where they are at the moment. They should finish third. Well, they'll obviously finish champions NFC South. And their last game
they clinched the division like 2 weeks
ago. They should finish third as well. So, my God, I mean, we're going to have to talk more about Antonio Brown. There's no chance he goes to another team. Like, in contrast, he was playing good this year. And I know that doesn't forgive anything, but I'm just saying no one takes a flyer on him, surely. Do they? Surely not. Yeah, I thought that was that easy.
I think it is that easy.
The Eagles beating Washington 20-16. What did you think of this game? I mean,
not an offensive masterclass by any stretch of the imagination.
It was pretty lackluster, to be completely honest, in this game.
A flat game, I think, is the best way to sort of describe it. And look, the Eagles sort of pushed themselves into a fairly, I think, handy lead and held on to it fairly well after Washington sort of got out of the blocks quick. Put 10 quick, easy points on them. Henneke looked good. Until the fourth quarter, the final interception. He was on that final drive that they had.
Yeah.
He was looking as good as what he had all game. He throws the interception to McLeod in the end zone. That kills the drive, and that kills the game because they're only down four. And I thought they did really well to sort of keep Philly honest. Keep Jalen Hurts sort of in check a little bit. Like, he didn't really rush that much. He only had 44 yards on the ground. I think, yeah, their run game in total was pretty meek, to say the least. Yeah, Boston Scott was there, got a majority of the carries. Jordan Howard wasn't really effective, only averaging just over 2 yards a carry. A divisional game was the only thing that sort of really made it interesting throughout the game. I think this game got a whole lot more interesting as the closing credits had sort of rolled up and Jalen Hurts was walking his way very close to the tunnel, and a few overzealous fans in the at FedEx Field there got a little bit too crazy, and the barricading on the grandstand decided to fail, and a whole bunch of people just poured into the tunnel.
So I'll talk about that later, because that's actually stepping on my dud of the week. There's actually a little bit more to that, but you're right. That was probably the most appealing. That was probably most appealing. Probably most appealing thing of that game, to be completely honest, was that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rams beating the Ravens 20-19. The Rams had to do it tough. They had to come back and win this game, which again is glaringly obvious of where Stafford is at the moment. For me,
they again had to put up with Matthew Stafford with 3 turnovers, 2 interceptions, and a lost fumble. Like he needs to pick his game up, because if they roll in this sort of form, then they'll be a one and done. Like, you know, they are absolutely beatable.
What's interesting is and I'd love if they had a cam like directly on him, and it's not going to ever happen. But it looks like Cooper Kupp's still Cooper Kupp, and Cooper Kupp is dominating this year. I think he's 4th and 5th in his yards of all time in this season.
I think he's 5th at the moment, and he's not really taking too much to the bank, so to speak, that because, you know, obviously because it's going to be an 18-game season, and he's going to go off. You know, he could be the number one, but it's going to be 17 games played and not 16 games played.
He still won't even beat a Mr.
I don't think he's going to get to Calvin. He won't get to Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson was just all time. But
and once again, who was Calvin Johnson's quarterback?
Matthew Stafford. But what's interesting? Yeah, you're right. So this was the same. Interestingly enough, this was the same problem that happened in Detroit. Is that Stafford found someone like Cooper Kupp, like Calvin Johnson. And then they still were able to get separation, but they were still double teamed a lot. And then when he wasn't available, he kept throwing interceptions because he had nothing else to throw to.
But he does have things to throw to.
Well, I agree.
He's got to make better decisions. That's part of it. I think it's just ingrained in him at the moment.
Possibly.
Because of all that Detroit line. Yeah, the Detroit Lions. He's got to try and get it to his best receiver, but it's like, oh, hang on a minute. You know, I've got a speedster here in Van Jefferson. I've got Odell Beckham Jr. here. You know, I've got a safety valve in a good tight end in Tyler Higbee. Like, I've got options here.
Or if it doesn't work, like he did in this game, use Sony Michel, or Daryl Henderson, or he wasn't going to be in this game, Cam Akers. You have running backs on your side as well. You're not Detroit.
That comes down to a little bit of play calling as well. Like, you know, now Sony Michel has been getting a bulk of the carries over these last few weeks that Daryl Henderson hasn't been there. So
he's been
taken a beating.
But they're going to have options, which is fine. That's good. They're going to have options coming in.
You've got to be smarter in using those options. That's the thing.
You don't see Cam Akers making it back to you as well. I think that'd be silly.
I think we said it last week. It would be absolutely foolish for them to try and incorporate him unless it's going to be on a very limited basis. I don't think he can be trusted with any sort of workload. I think it would be more of a surprise factor, type play that they could draw up for him. I think you ride Sony Michel at this point in time. Look, they're eking out wins at the moment. They eked out this win, even with, you know, Stafford had a pick six and then he throws another interception. I don't think he realized that Chuck Clark actually played for the Baltimore Ravens. Like, because he picked him off both times.
Chuck Clark was unbelievable in this game.
He picked him off both times.
Yeah, he was a monster in this game. It was absolutely ridiculous.
The thing was, you know, we talk about Cooper Kupp, but the guy that was there when he needed him to be was Odell Beckham Jr. And two massively clutch catches on that final drive, you know, for them to get the touchdown in that last quarter to essentially steal victory.
Yeah.
You know, that was, yeah. And the touchdown pass was anything but perfect. You know, Odell Beckham Jr., you know, just being, I think he had to catch the ball behind him and then spin around and break the plane to be able to get the touchdown. So, look, I hopefully he can rely on OBJ to be there for him when, as that secondary, he has to be.
Well, you've got no choice. You've got no choice.
Van Jefferson is your deep threat.
Chargers coming back to their winning ways, at least beating the Broncos, you know, after losing to the Texans last week, beating the Broncos 34-13. Justin Herbert was very clean in this game. It was better in this game. 22-31, 237. No sacks, no interceptions. He was very clean in this game. It was good. It's what he needed to be.
Yeah, that's right. Austin Ekeler was back. Yeah. Look, Mike Williams was back this week too. So, you know, that obviously gives him, you know, a deep threat to look for. Spread the wealth around too. Like, you know, he only had 22 completions, but, you know, nobody had more than four catches. So, yeah, spread it around. Well, yeah. That's kind of Keenan what up. You needed to do.
He got Keenan Allen get separation. When he got that touchdown, like, it was... He's 29, but goddamn, he's fast. He was down one end and then he sprinted.
But he's a very physical kind of wide receiver as well. He doesn't mind getting in the tussle.
Yeah, no, he can. He's not a bad blocker. You're right. He's not a bad blocker. He doesn't mind the tussle. But God, the separation he got, and just to get in that middle when he got his touchdown, like Justin Herbert just had to, I don't even know why I said Jefferson, had to just pop it to him right in the middle, and he was there just under the post. So it's just, it was just crazy to see how quick for a 29-year-old his separation was. The Denver Broncos, well, I mean, Drew Lock got injured this game. I know they've signed all these, you know, wide receivers, and, you know, they've got, you know, Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams seem to be pretty good together as a tandem at the moment. They're not doing much, but at the moment. But do they? They're 7-9. They're obviously out of the playoffs. They have to go all in for a quarterback, surely. And I'm not
To me, they're a team like Washington at the moment that are in quarterback limbo.
Yeah, I heard a very big rumor about Washington, but enough to like go, I don't know. Well, you're right, same thing. They need a quarterback, I think. I think Tyler Heineke's had enough time to prove where he was,
he's a very nice quarterback, and they do, you know, they're doing what they're doing, and they look nice, but that if they're to make any sort of inroads in that NFC NFC East. They need to get more than just a little bit above quarterback play, above average.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And they need some. Well,
same with Denver.
Yeah,
They can't just dink and dunk their way through the AFC West with Teddy Bridgewater.
They have to go all in. And Washington's the same. Washington has decent receivers and a great running back. Have a great defensive side. They just need their quarterback to sort of push them down the field. They're probably both similar, really.
Well, they thought Fitzmagic was the guy at the start of the season, and he's played, what, a quarter and a half?
Yeah, they won't. I think I'll be surprised. I mean, someone might give him a flyer. He might be a backup, but he won't be a starting QB again unless someone gets injured. So
he's absolutely going to be somebody else's back. He's basically a career backup. So he'll find himself in a situation where he'll be, you know, a strong backup.
The 49ers beating the Texans 23-7 in a first fully finished start and finish game for Trey Lance. Now what I found interesting about this game, it was a game that San Francisco, you know, what's interesting is they started Trey Lance, and I think, was Jimmy G injured?
Jimmy G's hurt. He's got a thumb injury. It happened last week late. Who did they play last week? I'm just trying to secretly go through my notes. Yeah, that was Tennessee. Yeah, no, he.
You think you go through your notes? You have to be secret about it.
Yeah, no, it was a thumb injury that sort of that's wrecked him at the moment. They're not 100% sure either if he can start next week. Like, it could be Trey Lance starting again next week if Jimmy G's not good to go.
Because this game and then obviously next game, they need to win both games to be in that wild card.
That's right.
They got no choice. He was okay in this game. I didn't mind him. You know, for the limited time that he had, and I'm just saying in general in this year, so he's really had the one game, it wasn't too bad, really. It wrecked a lot of my teams, because he seemed to go away, unless for one touchdown away from Debo Samuel, Kittle was the other one, but which is fine.
Yeah,
that's okay.
That's the thing, and that's where that little bit of team chemistry comes into it. They're not so much team chemistry, so to speak, but game plan. It's, okay, do we trust Trey Lance to sling the ball a lot? He only had 23 pass attempts. Are we gonna try and beat him with the run game and try and use Trey Lance in those, you know, those sort of, well, you got Kyle Shanahan there, so there should be some nice design runs, which look pretty good. But, you know, obviously Elijah Mitchell was massive in this game for them, you know, with 100, you know, nearly 120 rushing yards, and that's exactly what they needed. You know, Brandon Ayuk, you know, nearly had 100 yards in this game as well. So, It's good to see him, you know, getting in the yards again and getting in the mix, because he's sort of taken a little bit of a backseat since George Kittle's come back. There's a lot of fanfare around Debo Samuel and how multifaceted he is. George Kittle just doing George Kittle things. So it was good to see, you know, Ayuk, you know, top the yards for San Francisco in this.
And a nice rusher in Elijah Mitchell too, going over 100 yards.
That's right.
Although he was in a losing side again, I'm fully, just watching this game, I'm fully in the belief that they'll run with Davis Mills next year as their starting QB and probably look elsewhere in massive glaring holes that they need for the Houston Texans, because I don't mind him. I really don't mind him.
Look, I guess it will be a genuine competition, I think, over the offseason if I'm not sure of Tyrod Taylor's contract.
It was a one and done, so I think it had their option in their favor, Houston. So I just not that I've seen enough. He's going to need some competition, but I don't mind him. I think his passer rating, I think, is about that 60-70%, which is really good for a rookie QB.
For a rookie, and the way that they played this year, you know, the lack of offensive weapons that they have.
All four of those wins are from him.
Like, he has absolutely been, you know, the major catalyst for their wins. Besides the fact that him having a longer neck than Daly Cherry Evans, he's a good quarterback. Like, you know, no pun intended. He's got a good head on his shoulders. I'm just coming out with him tonight.
That was pun intended. Don't lie. That was serious.
That was 100% pun intended.
Yeah, that was
look,
intended.
The Rex Burkhead bubble burst. He only had 47 yards this week. They didn't really look anything like they did last week.
No. So, and look, they know what they are this year. I'm very happily surprised, you know, with Houston. This sounds dumb, but they're a surprise packet this year to get four.
Oh, absolutely! To be four wins, and Davis Mills being a major catalyst in a lot of those wins. That is super surprising. Mm-hmm. The way that he sort of, you know, fit in there. And look, he's had his bad games, but when he's been okay, they look all right. And, you know, Deshaun Watson, I think we honestly just need to forget about at this point in time.
For this team, we do.
For this team, I think he's as good as done Yeah, especially when talking about him. Like, yeah, this is I think this is his team. You know, talking about Davis Mills, this is his team to command now. Mm-hmm. And if they do want to bring Tyrod Taylor back to be, I guess, that professional backup. You know, last year he was he ended up being the backup for Justin Herbert. So at least this year, you know, Tyrod Taylor didn't have a nasty incident with a doctor and a needle. He just got genuinely hurt and not by somebody else on the medical staff.
Cowboys going down to the Cards 25-22 in a game that a fellow Cowboys fan mate here in Mackay, I said to him before they started, I said, we need to win this game. This is a statement game. If we don't win this game, we're proving pretty much that we can win this division, but we're probably not going to go past the first week after wild card. And it proved correctly. They went on for some absolutely bonkers reason. They went away from the run game that was still there. Nothing was stopping them from going away from the run game. I know Zeke only had 9 carries for 16 yards. Doesn't mean you have to then go obliterate away from it. Their whole offense wasn't there at all, to be completely honest. But, I mean, it was a schmozzle. Really?
For 3 quarters.
For 3 quarters. And then, it's like any time. Like, you know, anybody says that fourth quarter, everybody hates their fourth quarter because for a lot of reasons, for fantasy reasons, for betting reasons, for it's true. Like, you just hate it because, you know, it's going to be what we call in this game garbage time, because it ends up being garbage time.
Like, well, that's the thing too. Like, you know,
press spots was probably, I think, over half of that was in that last quarter.
Yeah, which that's is right.
Their offense was terrible. The Cards' defense is good, and it's always been good. It's never been their problem, but they, I guess, for me, this is the Cardinals. I have to give them props, and they used who they had there well, Christian Kirk and AJ Green, who got shot down last week. And this is Dallas that have a great defense. Yeah, I was really perplexed in this game because they were full strength. They were full strength.
No, that's right. And I think Arizona, in the absence of D-Hop, I think could use AJ Green a lot better and a lot more.
Yes. Yeah, no, I completely agree on that. I completely agree on that because, I completely agree on that.
And defensively, I thought they did really well in sort of, you know, disrupting what Dallas wanted to do. And it was pretty clear from, you know, from the first half that they, and which is what you want to do. You want to establish the run game. And then if you can get a nice dominant run game happening, then it opens up the pass game. And it just didn't happen. The Cowboys look like at the moment, well, it doesn't look like, you know, they have lost Michael Gallup. He's done his ACL, so he's finished for the season.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. So that sort of puts a little bit of a dent in their receiving core. Like, he's a good, reliable receiver. Obviously they've still got CeeDee Lamb, and Amari Cooper was a total non-factor in this game. They had him, they had the clamps on him. Buda Baker had his number.
I love Buda Baker. He was one pumping up momentum this last week when Kyler Murray looked nonchalant and Cliff Kingsbury, it was him that was pumping everybody up. And yeah, they fully deserve. I would have been pissed if we win this game, but there was a glaring, and it happened. It didn't happen in this game, but it's glaring to me with our defense. All the plaudits that went to Trayvon Diggs this year, which is fine. Like, you know, he's got, what has he got, 11 receptions through 16 weeks. The thing that his actual grade is so low.
It's
the
pretty reason, cool. Yeah.
The reason being, because he has he lives by the sword, dies by the sword. He has the most yards allowed out of any cornerback in the NFL. He has 962 yards.
I thought he actually topped 1,000. So
we might have So I've only had this down last week. So he might have topped 1,000 in that game. But that's what I mean.
Pretty sure he's topped 1,000 now.
He lives literally. That's living by the sword, dying by the sword. 11 receptions is great. I mean, it's 3 picks shy of the single season record, which has stood since 1952. But on the other edge of the sword, like, you know, if you clearly, if you're not going to go, or if he's not going for the interception, he's going for the interception, but he's not chasing after it. He just, if he can't get it, that's it. He goes, okay. It's just absolutely, it's just ridiculous. That's a terrible.
But it also can be as well. I think now, as the season's gone on, I think a lot of quarterbacks have sort of picked on that, because they would know that statistic. So if you've got a good enough quarterback and you're willing to gamble, then it's not so much to say it's pretty easy, you know. But accuracy is key. But all you need to do is put. Because he likes to undercut the ball as well. So if the throws are underthrown, then he is absolutely within the game.
You are right on that, because quarterbacks are testing him, because his targets,
that's right.
The targets against him are 93, which is the third most in the NFL.
Yeah. And so they're absolutely testing it out.
And Mahomes, just in week 11, targeted him 10 times. Even Taysom Hill. He targeted him in week 13 9 times. Like, so when they find out, this is the coaches, of course, they know this kind of thing. It's just it's glaring. It is glaring, especially for a corner. That's how you leak points. I mean, at the end of the day, that's how you leak points. You can't. The other one that doesn't get mentioned is Anthony Brown, who I like as a corner, because he isn't going for the glory play, but he holds back a little bit, and he'll always try to be there with the tackles and doesn't let a lot of yards after catch at all.
No, that's a good once again, no pun intended, that's a good safety.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, you don't want to allow those explosive plays, and as long as you don't get beaten either by footwork or by speed, then yeah, you'll be a good. You know, whether you're on the weak side or whether you try and force them to the outside, and it's, I mean, it's, and if he's every bit as quick as other receivers, then that'll be a hard person to get by.
We'll finish winning this division, but we got Philadelphia next week. Hopefully, should win that. That might push them out of the wild card spot, but they're finishing 12-5, which is still a great season considering where we were last year. This needs to be another game domination, like we did against Washington. We have no choice.
And at this point in time, Philadelphia are actually in the playoffs at the moment, so I'll be absolutely cheering for the Dallas Cowboys next week, and hopefully Saints. Well, it's
only Saints at 8-8. You are right, because that's the next team. They beat the Panthers 8-10. Them being eight and eight at the moment, they have statistically still a chance to make the playoffs. Or the wild card.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they need to get the job done against Atlanta next week. And then I think a few things have got to go their way. So, look, Sam Darnold started this game off really well. 9 of 9, 88 yards. Starting to look like Sam Darnold did at the start of the season. And pretty much as soon as I wrote that down on this piece of paper right here, he fumbles the ball. And yeah, my Marcus Davenport recovers it. And it was just like, wow, that happened quick. And it just, look, I thought that Carolina's O-line did well to start with. And then the Saints defensive line, yeah, really started to pick them apart.
Oh my God, they did. They did.
Carolina defense totally and utterly annihilated the Saints offensive line all game.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're Shaq Thompson. They have a great defense. They really do. Shaq Thompson.
They do. They've got like the second best passing defense in the league.
Well, Jeremy Chin's a very good disruptor in that team for Carolina Panthers. Well, they've got a few. Derek Brown. But yeah, Shaq Thompson.
Look, Frankie Louvu. He was massive in this game.
Yeah, he was actually.
Like you said, Jeremy Chin. Like they've got good guys on this defensive team.
Yeah, but you're right on the defensive team. On the offensive team,
this Saints defense will make any offense look pretty ordinary. And after Darnold had gone 9 for 9, you know, he was pretty ordinary. He got hit often. And Cam Jordan had a field day again. he had a field day a couple of weeks ago against Tom Brady, and yeah, he had a field day this week against Sam Darnold.
Yeah, 3.5 sacks, eight tackles in total, but 6 solo tackles, which is extremely. I'm not saying for a 32-year-old, but extremely rare for a defensive end to top the tackle count in your side. It really is.
Oh no, absolutely. Like he's been on the COVID list this year. Yeah. I think he's been, and before that he hadn't missed a game at all. So yeah, I think that was extremely disappointing for him. You hear a lot, like I watch 95% of Saints games when I've got the opportunity. You just hear that the guy has just got a motor, and he just does not stop. He won't quit. He's an unbelievable talent. He's got great hands. He knows how to get inside, inside offensive linemen. He knows how to brush them on the outside offensive linemen. If need be, he can use power. He's got speed. Like he chased Sam Darnold when Sam Darnold tried a little bit of a jet sweep. He was being blocked. He blasted through one of the blockers and still got to Sam Darnold before he got out of bounds. Like, he is an unbelievable athlete, and he is the absolute stalwart along with Demario Davis. On all three levels, they've got guys that are difference makers. You know, Marshawn Lattimore at cornerback.
CJ Gardner-Johnson.
That's right.
Yeah, their defense has always been and their offense has technically always been there, but with the Breeze retirement, with Michael Thomas being injured a lot, Alvin Kamara was sort of in and out this year in terms of injuries. I think he was on COVID protocols too a little bit, but you're right, it's their offense. Unfortunately, they're 8-8, and that's just because they've just been well coached to be 8-8, but they probably would have been interesting if Jameis Winston then being 8-8, if he was there in this team.
I think as the season went on, like, he was starting to get better and better.
I could see at least another 2 wins that I could see used as a 10-6 team personally.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, and right in the mix, right in the mix of the playoffs.
Yeah, right in the mix. So yeah, look, good win.
We're 5-2 with Jameis Winston.
And
that's with him not being spectacular. Like, he was averaging under 200 yards per game.
It was only that first game that it was spectacular against the Packers, and the other one was average to best. They weren't terrible, but they were average.
That's all they need to be when you've got a defense like this. Like, it just the scary thing was in this too, like the touchdown to Alvin Kamara. That was the first Saints touchdown in 11 quarters.
Yeah. Try having Kamara on your fantasy squad. It's ridiculous, but you're right for that reason. Like, because he's just it's not that he's not getting open, because he looks open when I see him run, because you can just see that big 41 running everywhere. But I just don't think they're getting the ball to him in time.
It's a different scheme that they sort of run, of course. Especially with Taysom Hill. Like, they seen that last year when Taysom Hill had started a few games and Drew Brees got hurt, and they had him there, and it just the effectiveness of Alvin Kamara just wasn't there. That sort of rung true a little bit less this year. Like, they're starting to incorporate him a little bit better with Taysom Hill as the starting quarterback. Not 100% sure if he's the guy going forward. I don't know. See, another team that's in quarterback limbo.
I don't know what
Taysom Hill will be when Michael Thomas comes back next year.
I think they just give Jameis Winston another chance. Why not? Someone else will.
You could run him up. You could absolutely run him back.
I reckon he'd stay there. I reckon he looked up until he got injured. He looked like. Even when Breeze was there last year, he looked like he's having fun in New Orleans. He looks happy, so to speak.
That's right.
So I reckon,
and he would have learned a lot backing Drew Brees up.
I honestly reckon he They'll run with him next year. I don't think they're in limbo. I reckon
if it's not, it could be a nice mediocre cheap option, unless one of the big guns in the off season.
Well, they all want to say available. Saints because they all, yeah, everyone says Saints because for that reason. They're just because it's well coached, well drilled, great defense, great offensive line.
Great defense, yeah, an offensive line when healthy is one of the best in the league. You've got one of the best receivers in the league. He's been totally forgotten about the last two seasons. I think next year, if really healthy, he is going to come back with a vengeance next year.
You hope. If he doesn't, that's
oh, no, absolutely. Yeah, I hope. That's me. As long as he's healthy. As long as he's healthy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Score fest. The Lions losing the Seahawks, but Tim Boyle getting 262 yards to get 29 points, losing to the Falcons 51. Russell Wilson. He ain't staying there this year, next year.
Oh, my God. And that's the name, bingo, that's the name that I'm talking about next year. But, you know, on the contrary, Pete Carroll has sort of come out and squashed these rumors that are going around saying that, you know, that they've got a fractured relationship, and he's just like, oh, that doesn't sound like the conversations that I'm having with Russell. So, yeah, he's sort of, just I guess, squashing those.
That's a classic.
Well, squashing those rumors for now, but
yeah.
Yeah, look, the story is you know, besides the fact that Tim Boyle put on 29 points against the Seattle defense, Rashad Penny.
Oh my God, did you watch him?
He's been on fire the last 3 weeks.
The man is thick, but he belted through that line, that defensive line. My God, he belted through that defensive line. Those two touchdowns were so, I don't even think no one touched him at all. He's a large human being.
He is.
But you're right.
They've also got another large human being in DK Metcalf who actually made an appearance this week and had 3 touchdowns.
Finally, if you ever had him in any fantasy spot.
Oh, if you had him in your championship round this week. And you banked on him. Well, boy, he come through.
You won. You would have won because for that while, that and someone else. But we've already mentioned him. On the other side, but, you know, that rookie, Amon-Ra St. Brown, that's the fourth week now he's gone over 100 yards.
Somebody's got to catch balls to the Lions, right?
Oh, I understand that, but. Well, you are. That's it.
But he's getting himself a good reputation, and that will only help you in the long run.
He is. There's probably not. I don't know, there were so many points in this game. Both teams are the last in their respective NFC North and NFC West divisions. Detroit trying hard. They know they need a lot. They'll go after an edge player. But it looks for next year. Seattle is going to be huge questions for next year.
There's lots of questions that Seattle need answers, and I think answers quickly once this season is over.
Because they have no first round pick because they have Jamal Adams there.
Jamal Adams, that's right. So that will turn into possibly another top 10 pick for the Jets.
It is going to turn into a top 10 pick for the Jets. And Jamal Adams hasn't, you know, as terrible as that sounds, this is not his fault of that number one, that first round pick, because he has been playing pretty good this year in a losing side. He's moved from corner to safety. He's been there.
He was like that at the Jets. He was always a good player.
That's what I'm getting
at.
So that's right. So what I'm saying is it's other places. It's a poor season by Russell. It was. And I don't know. There's a few other things. I mean, you know, they've got the weapons there. Who are kidding? They had the weapons there.
No, that's right. But it's been the same recurring problem for the last 4 years. Like Russell Wilson, they've got like a bottom five, you know, offensive efficiency, offensive line. It's been like that for the last 4 years.
This team doesn't. The Packers, I guess, effectively, it'd be very surprised if they lose their first round bye, but they beat the Vikings 37-10. They should win first round bye, 13-3.
I mean, it looks like they've got, that top seed wrapped up now. Kirk Cousins unavailable for this game. So Sean Mannion gets the start, who hasn't had a real meaningful start, I guess, in his whole career. But everything to play for in this game for the Vikings. They needed to get this win to stay in contention for the playoffs. Looked about as slow as Ben Roethlisberger which is not very good.
His throwing is not
too... He's only 29. Roethlisberger's got 10 years on him and he looked that bad.
he doesn't throw too bad as well, but...
He's got a big arm. Mania's got a big arm on him.
Massive arm. But he just completely deserted the rushing game. Dalvin Cook got 13 yards and 9 carries in this game. He got swallowed up.
That was brutal. You want to rely on, on your run game and Dalvin Cook, then you try it in this. Look, Green Bay had 17 more minutes time in possession. They worked that game beautifully.
And that was just, oh, my God, like, Aaron Rodgers will be the MVP. I'd be a two-time MVP. I cannot not see that not happening. But
and Green Bay wasted great field position.
Yes, they
on
did.
Their first four drives.
Yeah.
You know, going into the second, through the first quarter and going to the second quarter, wasted good field position. So this game is a blowout anyway. But this scoreline could have been a whole lot worse for Minnesota.
Davante Adams, and also, like, he just gave, did you watch some of those first catches?
His over under was 92.5, and he obliterated that in three quarters.
But what's happening in those first two or three catches is it's both of them. Rodgers is literally throwing these actual pinpoint passes.
So on the first drive of the game, it was unbelievable.
He doesn't even have to turn around. He doesn't even have to turn around at all. The ball literally, which is ridiculous, because you usually have to turn around to see. The ball's falling over his shoulder into his hands. He just has to get...
It's like dropping into a bucket.
That is unbelievable quarterback play, but that's also him getting into position as well. And Rodgers has actually come out. I think it was just before or just after... this game. I can't remember. It was probably before this game. But he came out and said Davante Adams is the best player he's ever played with, ever.
It was over the Christmas break.
I think so. Yeah, I think it was before this game because Devontae was like, he heard the
news. He was totally.
He had to pull over, he said. He had to pull over.
Yeah, that's right.
He's just like, he heard it and went, holy hell. We're just, considering how many players that he's played with. But.
Did he say that on the Mac? I think he said that on the McAfee show, didn't he?
He did, but it's look what he does for him. No one else has done that for him. I honestly, if they and they're primed again, I mean they're going to come up against his old buddy, Tampa Bay. You would think
it's going to be another Green Bay.
Of course
Tampa
it will be.
NFC championship game.
But if he sneaks through that Rodgers and they're in the Super Bowl, and if he win or loss, I he's either going to retire or I don't think he leaves Green Bay. Unless something drastic happens.
I don't think he retires. I think he likes how he's going at the moment.
I don't see why not? Look how good he's playing. I don't see him leaving. If he does, I don't know where he goes. I don't see him leaving personally. I just don't see it. But I don't. I just think
anything bar a Super Bowl, I think keeps.
Well,
him
that's
in Green
the thing. Any team he moves to is Super Bowl contender.
They're gonna have to move heaven and earth to get him.
Well, that's exactly right because he's two time consecutive MVP.
Right, back to back MVP, and it's looking very safe. I think that bet.
And the last game was the Steelers beating the Browns 26-14. I mean, this was Ben's supposed farewell home game.
I don't think there's any supposed about it.
Najee was brilliant in this game.
Oh, he was gigantic in this game.
My God, and he
makes some hard yards too.
Oh, he's he does. His yards after contact are pretty good.
They're tough.
Yeah, he's a tough player.
He takes a beating.
Because he's been not inconsistent, but he's been topsy turvy this year. He's a great running back. On the other side, and I'll keep saying this every week, and I don't care. Baker Mayfield got sacked 9 times. He threw 2 interceptions, and it would be absolutely ludicrous and I'm saying this to one person, and we all know who this one person is in our group, but they would be absolutely ludicrous if they re-signed Baker Mayfield. They'll
to
be
a large contract.
They'll be in to any contract. I think they'll be in purgatory for that 5 or 6 years. Not on this side. I don't see him as a QB1. Not on this side.
He got beat down, battered, broken, bruised more than Ian Book did last week. Ian Book got annihilated last week.
When you have TJ Watt coming out, this side is no good. I mean, there's one side that this is what I was saying about what like for some reason if he it depends if technically he's got next so they've picked up his fifth year option so technically
picked up the, yeah that's right they've picked up the fifth year
he,
option.
He's committed for $17 million. Doesn't mean would they said that about Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, and someone else.
That doesn't mean squat.
And Sam Darnold, all three of those players moved and they were still in those contracts. Those two first ones I mentioned were massive contracts. That doesn't mean squat. I don't see it. I don't see it at this team. I think
He's been a total hindrance to this team since week six.
Yep. And he's been injured, and he's going to have shoulder surgery. I get it.
And he's playing for a contract. I understand that. But He's been a hindrance to this team since week two. He got the torn labrum. Week six, he got the crack in the shoulder. Over the last eight games, 1,500 yards, 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, and 56% completion rate. That just doesn't cut it.
It doesn't cut it in this league.
Play calling has been a problem. In this, if you've got a hurt quarterback like this, then their offensive line isn't bad. Then you just need to hit the run game. You've got one of the best running backs in the league. I don't understand it.
You have top three running back probably in the league, probably top four, top five, and Kareem Hunt isn't that bad as well. You have two. It worked last year.
Kareem Hunt wasn't there. Yeah, D'Ernest Johnson. He's proved that he can help you out.
Where's the
creativity in the play calling and in the scheme? That's all I wonder. Like, you know, if you Kevin Stefanski has come there from, I think, what did he come there from? Minnesota. He was the offensive coordinator there. Where is the creativity? Where is the way to get Nick Chubb into these games? It's not so much on Baker, but it's play calling as well.
Yeah, that's exactly right. No, it is. It's not just on Baker. It's play calling as well. But that team is a schmozzle. Their defense is awesome. Miles Garrett's been. He's going to be pipped this year. He was.
That's right. They've got an amazing defense, but they're not winning you games. I don't want to take it back onto my team, but look at what the Saints are doing defensively.
Yeah.
They're single-handedly winning games when your offense is terrible. Why is that not happening in Cleveland?
And that scheme is most likely scheme, and it's the way the plays are drawn up. So that's probably why. Two different coaches. Obviously, yeah,
Baker Mayfield, you would probably take over Taysom Hill. You'd think he would be a lot more competent quarterback. That's a fair assumption. The thing, and look, Baker Mayfield is now that the seat, yeah, pretty much the, yeah, their season's done. He has booked himself in, but the team has come out and said that he will finally have the shoulder surgery that he's been waiting for all freaking season. It's unbelievable he's had to wait this long to do that. You had
Case Keenum.
He didn't want to give up his starting job.
You had Case Keenum there that won him a game and is very competent enough that could have won
that
game.
Now all of a sudden he's like, oh, I need to look after myself after you've just been obliterated 9 times. You know, by one of the better defenses in the league. Now all of a sudden, I need to take time for myself. I'm playing for a contract. He did himself a disservice to his contract the way that he played this year.
He should. If you've seen the writing on the wall, someone sort of said to him, no, set it out. You're just hurting yourself more. So
somebody needed to tap him on the shoulder and say, look, son, we know what you're trying to do here. It's not gone unnoticed by you know, ourselves, team management, ownership.
Yeah.
You're hurting us more than you're helping us.
Yeah. Well, that's all the games this week. Our studs and duds, as always. For me, my stud was, Jamar Chase. 266 yards, 3 touchdowns. You can't really go past it, can you?
No, well, he set the rookie receiving record for yards in a single game, 266.
Yeah. And like I said,
Boy can scoot.
Probably won't win Offensive Rookie of the Year, but should be mentioned. It'll probably be in the finalists now. Now after this game, who's been pretty good this
I still
year.
Think recency bias is going to come in, and I think now that he could absolutely overtake Mac Jones.
Possibly, but we'll see. And dud of the week.
I think that's pretty easy as well, is it not?
So we mentioned it earlier during the game. The after the game, the like you said, a few overzealous Eagles fans were trying to, I guess, you know, get high fives from Jalen Hurts, and the rail fell in a stadium that has massive problems in FedEx Field. This stadium is just, I mean, it's got sewage running through it in the stands.
That's called the players on the field.
Yeah, well, there's that. And I think
called management as well.
I think you mentioned right at the start, there was like a pin or a pen or something on the field as well, of this field. Like, it's just...
That was a pair of scissors. FedEx Field was the pair of scissors. I think the fork was at Allegiant Stadium in Vegas.
So this stadium is just a muzzle. This team is a muzzle. Jalen Hurts actually penned a letter.
Yeah, that's right. He did too.
And said he wants
answers.
He wasn't. Yeah, he wasn't happy.
Apparently, security, they didn't give a shit about, you know, or getting medical attention for the people that fell. They're just like, hey, everybody, get the hell off the field. What are you doing? Piss off.
Well, no, it wasn't. No, they were off the field. It wasn't even. That was more
they wanted the hell away from Jalen Hurts. Okay, what are you doing? Get out of here.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he
not worried about anybody's welfare. Is anybody hurt?
He was up most professional. Like, he just stood there. He got a couple
Jalen
of shots.
Jalen Hurts was nothing but professional. But he had a laugh. He took some selfies. It was crazy.
It could have landed straight on him. That's the
thing. That's right. If he's there, I don't know, 2 seconds earlier.
Yeah.
Would have been, man, there would have been hell to pay.
It's funny how all this stuff comes out, and then all of a sudden now, I don't know if you, this was just one bit of news that I've picked up before the end, is that Washington finally have on their Instagram page wrote 2/2/22. So it looks like the 2nd of February, they'll be finally, I don't know why they waited another full season, but they're finally going to name their, I guess, what do you call it? Their mascot, their,
well, it's just going to be what the team is going to be called going forward.
So, yeah, finally. I'm sick of saying Washington Football Team. I don't know about
Washington
you.
Football is one of the worst names I've ever heard, to call a team. It's embarrassing. It's a joke. It's unbelievable. So they've come out and said, yep, they're 2nd of February this year. But the overwhelming response, you know, on Twitter when they sort of said that, you know, put it out there to everybody. What do you think we should be called? You know, Wolves or Red Wolves? It's not going to be that. There's a lot of things with patent pendings and trademarks. So I don't think they want to spend a whole bunch of money on getting trademarks and stuff for that. So did a little bit of digging on the 2nd of September on the Adam Schefter podcast last year. Management, one of the managers had come out and sort of said, these are the names that we'll be looking at. Obviously, Red Wolves is one of them. Football Team is one of them. Whoever come up with that idea that they still think that they're going to call themselves the Washington Football Team should be fired immediately. Fired. So the other ones are the Commanders, the Red Hogs, the Brigade, the Presidents, and the Armada.
The Armada. Wow. I don't know which one do you
and
like.
And they still don't have the one that absolutely should be called. And it should just be called the Washington Sentinels. Let's just get it over with now. Call yourself the Washington Sentinels and let's be done with. I'm sick of this crap. Just call yourselves the freaking Sentinels and get it over with.
I don't mind watching the Commanders. Doesn't sound too bad. That's
the Commanders,
not too bad.
I don't mind. I like that. Red Hogs. I don't mind that either. I'm not sure there's too many hogs in the
That's too easy.
That's a cop out. That's
too on the nose kind of thing. But Commanders isn't too bad. I don't mind Commanders.
Brigade, Armada. I don't mind that.
Armada doesn't. Yeah. It's not gonna be called Sentinels, you idiot. As much as you want it to be
just
called.
Just get it over with. If you're not gonna call yourselves the Red Wolves, which is what everybody could, just call yourselves the Sentinels. This is insane.
Yeah, see, that could be a smokescreen too. They might buy the patent and then. How else
they're not paying for that.
If people again, people want to buy jerseys and I suppose if your fans are there, your fans are there. But still, like if people want that, like how are you actually going to get people on your side? But asking, you know, bowing to what they want, so to speak. But I don't mind Commanders. Right. I don't mind Commanders.
I think Commanders. Yeah, that's probably the second best name that they could possibly call themselves.
Was there anything else you had there just to finish on?
I mean, look, I think we'd be remiss if we didn't sort of give the full situation in the Antonio Brown saga, I guess, you know, since we're only a couple of days removed from it. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's all sorts of conflicting reports out there about it, that he feels that he was still hurt, looked like he was playing okay. He was asked to go back into the game twice. He refused. Bruce Arians basically then come out and said, look, if you're not going to go into the game, then don't be here on the sidelines. Go away. He sort of cracked it about that a little bit. You could see a couple of you know, Mike Evans was one of them that was trying to calm him down. Couldn't calm him down. He took his shoulder pads and his jersey off, you know, undershirt taken off, gloves thrown into the crowd. You know, dance through the end zone, clapping and doing all sorts of stupid crap.
Yeah.
Apparently, security thought that he was just some rando that got on the field. And he went through the tunnel and was asking security for a ride to the airport. Like, he was waiting.
He was waiting for a ride outside, actually.
Well, and he obviously didn't get an Uber to the airport because he was seen at the Brooklyn Nets Memphis Grizzlies game the next day.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah, front row center.
Of course he was.
Of course he was.
Oh my God! Of course he was. Wow. There you go.
So
Jesus.
It's you know, it come out. Yeah, Bruce Arians basically said, you know, said at the end of the game, he's no longer a Buck. Like he was very upset.
Yep. Good. But you know, I'm glad they took that tough stand straight away. He nipped it in the bud because that could have dragged out, could have went ruined the rest of the season. He just went, no longer a Buck. Next question. Great. That's good.
Technically, he's still a Buck because he hasn't landed on the waiver wire yet, but I'm sure that those things are in the works.
Oh, yeah.
He cost himself $1 million by doing this.
Yeah.
In incentives.
Yep.
So he only needed 8 more catches for $333,000. He only needed 1 more touchdown to trigger another $333,000, and he only needed 55 more receiving yards to trigger another $333,000.
Yeah, it was so, a cool million. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. A cool million. He's cost himself a cool million. He's just, look. There's two sides to every story, right? So, you know, he's the reason why what's been sort of reported by Ian Rappaport was that. Offensive staff members have come up to him and he felt, I'm not healthy enough. I don't think I can go back out there. And then, yeah, that's basically, yeah, you know, how, yeah, that was relayed on to Bruce Arians and he's come back and said, yeah, if you're not going to be in the game, then don't be here. And that, I guess that was the trigger, that set him off. So it just.
Yeah, I get that, but you know, the brain, the leaving during the game, the brain snap, like, you know.
Well, there's people out there that said he's just flat out quit.
Well, yeah, well, hasn't he?
Well, Ryan Clark, who's a former teammate of him at Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And he knows him a little bit. He knows how sort of, I guess, unstable he can be. He just, he's based flat out, just come out and said he quit on the team.
He quit on the team, didn't he? He quit on the team. course he did.
He's a serial offender, and as Charlie Murphy would say, he's an habitual line stepper.
He is.
You have a look at the rap sheet.
The rap sheet goes all the way back to high school and college.
It's unbelievable.
He's done it his whole career.
On and off the field. To me, he's a total attention seeker. This is just another footnote to that. Is it a fact of I just don't want to play football anymore, and this is the kind of antics that he has to go to be able to tell that to everybody without actually telling that to everybody. There's pictures that's been put up on Instagram of him after the game, lining up in an Uber line, just being on the phone, being so nonchalant, going, hey, this didn't happen. He didn't get on the charter to go back home. To go back to Tampa, you may as well go see a Brooklyn Nets game while you're in the New York area. So
might as well.
Might as well.
I'm sure
those courtside seats weren't cheap.
I mean, he probably knows a few of those players, let's be honest.
Quite possibly. He might hit his boy up, Kevin Durant, if he knows some of those guys. Get me the hookup with some courtside seats. I need to get my face back onto TV again.
The people love me again. Yeah, no, he's done. That's my summation. He's done. I'll be extremely shocked that any team takes a flyer on him again.
After Pittsburgh, he has had three teams now that have taken a flyer on him, and they've all ended poorly.
Yep.
So they're just surely there can't be another foolish team out there to take a chance on what it could be.
He's done what I think he said he wanted to do, and that was win a Super Bowl anyway. So what else does he need to do?
That's right.
He's not making bulk money. It's
the life after football. Like that's correct. That's correct. The thing. His team of advisors can just do appearances
and make bulk money, is what I'm getting at. He can do enough to keep making money without playing football.
Yeah, but is he smart enough to be able to continue that on?
We'll see. We will see, but that is this week's NFL pod. Don't forget, as always, our socials are Facebook, Final Play Podcast, and Twitter. Yeah, I've said it every week. Twitter's at Final Play Pod. Facebook, as always, you'll get all our links to each streaming service. We're on SoundCloud, Spotify. Spotify is a big one, the easy one. It's an easy way. Once you like and follow, that's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, check us out on gimko.com.au, GIMKO. Few big breaks that are sort of happening with those guys at the moment. NBA, obviously, that'll be coming up on Fridays. I don't think there's a recent NFL one up at the moment.
We'd had a look on there this week, and I didn't see an NFL one pop up anywhere as yet. So... But they've always have them there. I've definitely seen them there, but maybe they're just waiting for a bit more interest because of the waiting for the sort of playoffs to come. I'm assuming.
Yeah, I'm not sure how Dom's going over the holidays and everything over Christmas break.
Oh, and it's also
cool
with that too, because there's a lot of...
Yeah, they probably just have a little bit of a break at the moment. But there's a Pop Century case break that's up at the moment that's still got plenty of spots left. They're usually pretty good. They're hit and miss though, with all the celebrity autos and stuff like that. But there's another one up there that's the Jersey Fusion All Sports case break, which I'm really interested in, and there's only three spots left in that at the moment. So that's sort of like a draft style hit. So yeah, I think you must just get one packet. So one hit, one box type of deal. There's a National Treasures baseball one up there at the moment that's still got plenty of spots left. So Yeah, check those guys out. Always the best value in town, really. And they do everything. You know, they're all the way from AFL, NRL, WWE. I haven't seen a WWE one for a while. Come on, Mojo King.
He's probably out in WWE like a few other people, but that's another story.
Working out trying to get his 24-round-inch pythons happening. So
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. There's definitely nothing wrong with that. Well, have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason Normal Neck Smith. I ain't got no long legs like your Daly Sherry ever.
Oh, man, it's crazy. He's got Daly's shoulder pads. It's got shoulder pads and everything on, and it still sticks up 6 inches out of that, so it's chilling.
It's insane. Isn't there a second rower? I'm trying to think of the second rower for Parramatta. Hasn't he got a long neck too? Oh, that blondie, that real, real tall. It's just because he's massive, but I think he's got a long neck as well. Sean Lane.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. He's a big human too.
Well, yeah, that's right. He's got no Daly Sherry Evans neck, but he's still.
His is long and thick.
Yeah, no, neck. I've got a normal one. Thanks.
Yeah. Look, I'm Miles Lapdance Plum.
Oh, maybe we should have paid it.
Urban Meyer's living his best life, man. Like, leave him alone.
Oh, that was so good. Yeah, that whole series. Maybe we should have played Nerd Lap Dance as a starting song. Mm. That would have been awesome. But anyway, yeah. Good work, Urban. You live your life.
Living his best life. I think he'd be a little bit stressed. Yeah, a little bit more stress free now too.
Oh, of course he would be. All right.
Dealing with those losers, like, you know.
Yeah, of course. Can't believe
words come out of his mouth, not mine.
He says, yeah, but you've perpetuated it. All right.
That's true.
See you, everyone.
See ya.